This weekend's Super Bowl marks another anniversary, roughly. I'm talking about the Army-Navy game of December 1963, when we saw the very first use of instant replay. Just prior to that game, there was an agonizingly slow application of the concept that had the nation on the edge of its collective seat.
Lee Harold Oswald has been shot. The man who saw the shot fired said it was fired.
It was when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald 2 days after Oswald shot President Kennedy. It took NBC 9 minutes to replay the Oswald shooting and CBS 11 minutes. But when Army scored against Navy, it took no time at all to see it again, thanks to an intrepid CBS producer named Tony Verna, who would go on to achieve acclaim directing and producing myriad live TV events, from the bicontinental charity concert Live Aid to specials with Pope John Paul II. We called Tony to ask him why it was so hard to replay live TV.
When the operator had to find a starting point, had to keep stop, search, stop, search, stop, search, and find where the play actually happened. So that took them a while.
10 minutes or so?
Yeah. And when I tried to hasten that process, the best I ever got was like 6 minutes. And that was still not acceptable because the game went on. You wouldn't know what the heck they're talking about. The announcer couldn't say, oh, about 5 plays ago when that guy crossed over the middle. I mean, it made no sense.
So then you saw a way to make it almost instantaneous. And it was by not relying on the picture, but a sound that you would embed during important plays?
I really couldn't touch the Sony machinery. So I figured, well, I'll use the tape to give it the brains. And that's why I picked the soundtrack that I could only hear in a truck you didn't hear at home as a means of locating the starting point.
You weren't able to look at the picture as it went backwards, but you could hear the tone as it approached the area that you wanted it stopped at. So you could go directly to it rather than stop and start.
When it went backwards, I heard the tones go from 3 to 2 to 1. When that guy heard tone 1, he let the machine go, and then it went. And then I heard 2, 3, beep, 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 and then I took it.
And you chose the December 63 Army-Navy football game. There were burnt-out vacuum tubes. The machine slipped in and out of recording. The Lucille Ball tape that was supposed to be recorded over wasn't recorded over. It was kind of a mess. But eventually there was a play.
Well, in the fourth quarter, Rolly Stitchway, the Army quarterback, scored a touchdown. I immediately re-racked the tape. And when the last tone firmed up and I saw that it was a clean image without Lucy, I punched it up and said to the announcer, this is it, Lindsay. And that's what they saw. They saw it in full speed, and you couldn't tell the difference. It looked like, I don't know, it looked like the team may have scored again.
Isn't that what many of the viewers thought?
My announcer made sure. He said Army has not scored again. But you have to remember that I was told not to ballyhoo the invention because we didn't know if it would work. And my boss, Bill McPhail, was very sensitive to the Kennedy assassination, as we all were, and he didn't want to gimmick up the game. Today, if I came up with an innovation, I would warn the viewers, but this came out of the blue. Nobody had seen anything like this before.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
I went to West Point for a year, and then I dropped out and went to University of Pennsylvania, the Ivy League school, and studied metallurgical engineering for a year, and then dropped out of that. And that summer, I was living with a well-known nightclub singer, movie star, and that arrangement went sour, and I needed the money to go back to school. So I took a job as a roustabout in a circus, which was televised. I was rigging high wire acts. I was a crazy 19-year-old, and I'm out there rigging high wires, and I look down, and this guy's waving his arms. The elephants went that way, and the clowns went that way. And I said to the other guy, I said, who was that down there? He said, that's the director. And then a few months later, I became the director.
Who was the movie star?
That remains a secret. You know, I've written several books. And my fifth book was my autobiography. And when I went to the Vatican, the secretaries there didn't want to know about technology. They want to know if I slept with Ava Gardner and Grace Cully. That's what they wanted to know.
Obviously, instant replay didn't just transform the viewing experience. It revolutionized officiating and analysis.
Now, I didn't do it for officiating. I invented because I had a need. The camera had to go where the ball is. And say the ball was thrown to second base to catch the guy sliding while the other one came across home and scored. He didn't see the one home coming home and scored. So there was always something missing there, you see what I mean? The cause and effect angle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I was doing the game of the week in baseball with Dizzy Dean and I couldn't get that across, Dizzy Dean would say, "Ah, partner, you missed it." I would do games and go back to Toots Shores, which is a watering hole in New York, and Toots and other gamblers would say, "Didn't that crumb bump go out of bounds on that play?" And I said, "My God, these guys are really betting on these games."
Once you proved the concept, were there any constituencies who were against instant replay?
Well, they were reluctant, let's put it that way. The directors at the time were frightened to death of live television. That's why I was able to make a name for myself, not only in sports, but in news and in entertainment, parades, beauty shows, musicals.
Live specials for Mother Teresa, the Kentucky
yes.
Derby, musicals with Roy Rogers, Liberace, Ava Gardner
yes.
and Grace Kelly, as you mentioned, Sinatra, all because people were scared of going live without Tony Verna.
Well, no, Dwight Hemian was a live director. He did most of the Sinatra shows, and Bob Finkel did Perry Como.
Mm-hmm.
But they stayed in their own sphere. Frank Cicchinnino only did golf and did it massively well. But, you know, you couldn't take him out of that zone.
So, patents. That's what you're into now, right?
Yes, I have 7 on the market right now.
What are they?
I have a patent for instant voice alerts where if you're driving down the highway, it could say to you, there's activity at the back of your kitchen door.
Oh.
So then it will say, we've alerted your security company and that type of thing.
Do any of today's inventions or capabilities leave you dazzled? Who would ever have thought that we could simultaneously speak to the entire world?
Not so much that, but Omni Magazine gave me the courtesy of calling me one of the top minds to predict the future, along with Bill Gates and Carl Sagan. And I predicted that someday you'll have a mist in your living room and that the eyeing camera will show you the football field and you can walk around it. That's where my mind has gone. I won't be around to see that, but you probably will.
Did you say an ion camera?
Yes. Rather than using electrons, the ion would supply the energy and the mist would accept it as a recording device. You know, a vapor suddenly makes an image appear.
Mm-hmm. Sure sounds cool.
Well, someday it'll be tackled in your living room. See, that's the whole point.
Tony Verna, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Tony Verna is the inventor of instant replay and a general Renaissance man. He lives in Palm Desert, California.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, Laura Mayer, Alana Casanova-Burgess, and Mira Sharma. We had more help from Kimmy Regler, and our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Andrew Dunn and Rick Kwan.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.